97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Fish heads, fish heads, roly poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum. Fish heads, fish heads, roly poly fish heads.
It's Easter.
Fish
heads, he said, prepared to be shocked.
The morning.
And I was right.
Well, hello and welcome into Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. Tony Colombo here, and producer Carl said seconds before going on the air, prepare to be shocked.
It's Bo? Easter weekend.
Bo, are you shocked?
I'll be shocked if he plays Baby Shark next.
Oh, no.
That's, oh, you're giving him ideas.
All right.
Welcome
Challenge
to
accepted.
This week's show. Happy Easter weekend to everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Got a great show in store for you today. We're going to go all over the place. We are going to talk to our friend Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. We've talked about it. We've teased it. We've spread the rumors that the state of Missouri was considering putting into place an annual bear hunting season, and it is now the truth. The state of Missouri has indeed put in a bear hunting season. So we're going to talk to Tim Shelsvik about that and more. We are also going to have the chief of police from Eureka on with us in the next segment. Bo's got a really great event that he is a part of that he has been doing for years that the Eureka Police is tied into. And, of course, we can talk to the chief about some other issues, happening in this crazy world these days. And we're going to start the show kind of the way that we always start the show.
A better way.
This is a step up and a big way. So normally Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, joins us at the beginning of every show, but he is apparently on assignment, and we now have Jessica Tarlow from Southern Armory joining us, and I couldn't be happier. Jess, it is always great to talk with you. Thank you for filling in for Aaron this week, and I guess probably for the next few weeks. Very excited to have you on the show with us. How's it going?
It's going well. I mean, things have been crazy lately, so it's just good to be able to, you know, support the Second Amendment and make sure that we're getting guns into Second Amendment supporter hands.
Yeah, so you and I haven't had a chance to talk about this specific issue. It's something I've talked to Aaron a lot about, obviously, and something we've talked to some of the other folks that we know in the firearms industry. But I want to get your take, just overall take on this past year, how crazy it has been there at Southern Armory and in the firearms industry in general, and just how I just want your perspective on what this year has been like and how crazy it has been for everybody in the firearms industry, but specifically there at Southern Armory.
So crazy is actually the best word to define it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen growth in the Second Amendment community like I've not experienced in the 10 and a half years we've been in business. It's great to see people who are finally wanting to learn about guns and taking that step. And I mean, it started when the lockdown of COVID happened, and it's just grown with the election and now with the current administration in office. You know, people coming out and saying, you know, I want to learn about guns. I want to be able to defend myself. I want to be able to defend my home and my family, and I want to do it properly. And it's great to see the numbers of guns that are being sold right now. That people aren't backing down. They can sit there and they can try to talk about banning things and taking things and how guns are evil, but they're not. You know, it's the law-abiding citizens that need to take that stand and say, look, you know, this is our right. And it's great to see people making that step.
Hey, Jess, the buying experience for anybody that comes into Southern Armory is unique, mainly because you were there. Now, I remember 20 years ago or so when Skip Weber of Weber Chevrolet had and featured that he had female automobile salespeople on staff. And I've got to believe that, you know, when a female talks to another female in your industry, there's got to be a level of comfort and knowledge that you can pass along. Because if you think of the testosterone-filled gun stores all over the place, you know, there's a lot of single moms and single women out there that, and I don't mean to be misogynist, I'm just saying that it's a different experience when you walk into it. You know what I mean? So can you speak to that for anybody that's a female that wants to, you know, possibly buy a gun, learn how to use it, be safe with it, protect her, her family or herself? Can you talk about that experience for women that come in and buy from you guys?
So I love being a female in this industry. It's hard at times because, like you said, it's very testosterone driven. We see primarily males when you walk into a gun shop. I know before the business was started and I started, you know, selling firearms, going into gun shops, I would go into a store with Aaron and I would ask a question and they would talk to him. They wouldn't answer me. Mm. And females actually make up a large percentage of the shooting industry now. But a lot of people just don't recognize that fact. And being a female in the industry, it's nice to be able to have, and I'm not the only one. You know, there are other females that work in gun shops in the area. It's just very far between. But it's good to have that other, you know, that female to relate to, because sometimes you don't want to hear a guy's perspective on things. You need to have a female's perspective and a female's voice. But I mean, we have here at the shop when we're able to do training classes. I actually started doing a class when we first opened, that was an introduction to self-defense class, and not all women at first feel comfortable with guns. So we go over the options of, you know, physical self-defense, knives, pepper spray, tasers, stun guns, you know, and what you can do to further get trained in those options. We're also happy when we're able to do CCW classes. If there's a group of women that don't want to do class, you know, with a man or feel like they're the minority in a class and would prefer to have an all-female class, we're happy to set something up and work something out with the schedule to make that happen, to make them feel as comfortable as possible, to make sure their questions are answered and that they're not uncomfortable to ask those questions, because that's the worst thing to do in this industry is to not ask the questions that you have. There are no dumb questions and you need to get those answers.
Jess, how many people in the last year there at Southern Armory, your customers, what percentage do you think have been first-time gun buyers? And has there ever been a time that there has been more first-time gun buyers in your experience in the, you know, in the whole time that you have been with, you know, Southern Armory and doing this?
I'd have to say in the last year, just from the conversations I've had with customers, that we're probably at 40% or better being first-time gun buyers.
Yeah.
And I've not seen this larger rate of growth in this short of a period of time before.
And what's the, is it protection? Is it peace of mind? Like, what is the, I mean, everybody's, you know, obviously that's not going to be, you can't speak for every single one, but is there an overwhelming, like, is there a common answer from people or common reason in these first-time gun buyers that is motivating them to purchase?
Self-defense is definitely the biggest one we hear. Home defense, personal defense, concealed carry. But we also have those few that will come in and, we'll also have those customers that will come in and tell us, hey, you know, I'm buying a gun today just because I just want to go to the range and shoot. Mm-hmm. Or I just want to, you know, support the fact that, hey, I'm of age now and I have a Second Amendment right. And I want to get a gun. I want to get trained. And if I decide to carry one day, even better. You know, so, but the primarily the biggest answer we get is definitely self-defense for either home or the individual for carry.
That is Jessica Tarlow from Southern Armory. Jess, it's great talking with you. I think we're going to talk to you next week, so that's very exciting. Also, before we let you go, for people that haven't been to Southern Armory yet and want to get out there and visit you, what is the best way to get information and learn about Southern Armory and visit Southern Armory, both in person and social media websites, all that good stuff?
So you can find us on Facebook under Southern Armory. If you want to give us a call, 314-965-GUNS is the best way to find out current inventory and pricing because things have been extremely difficult to get a hold of. You can also find out our hours and if we have any specials or classes going on by visiting southernarmory.com. That is southernarmory.com.
Yep. Southernarmory.com?
That's southernarmory.com. Mm-hmm.
We can't see. We have to do it too, Jess. Mm-hmm. Like we, Carl and I are programmed to repeat.
Once we hear it.
When we hear the website, we it's like it's a trigger. We just have to repeat it. Jess, thank
yes,
you so
I
much.
Have to say it for.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time today. It's great talking with you, and we'll talk to you again same time next week.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jess.
Bye.
All right, let's go ahead and take this. Oh, there you go.
Yes. I love Shark Chunk, says Cyber.
So many parents. So many parents just went, ah! The airworm is
I
back.
I first heard it at Disney like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Man.
Sorry, everybody. Happy Easter.
My kid went through a baby shark phase. The chief of police from Eureka joins us next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Grandpa Shark. Grandpa Shark. Grandpa Shark. Grandpa Shark.
Never.
But it's a good lifestyle.
He's on a roll today.
It makes me think of all the church fish fries that I missed this year and last year.
Yeah. See, it's Easter weekend, and I said, you know what? I'm playing nothing but songs about fish this week.
Hey, Carl is on a roll with the music this week. Thank you so much for tuning in to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Really appreciate you joining us. Don't forget, we put out a podcast, not only of this radio show, but a second podcast every week as well that is, you know, very creatively entitled The Podcast Exclusive.
What?
And so you can tell your friends and family, if you know anybody that appreciates and enjoys the kind of conversations we have here. We talk about law enforcement. We talk about the military. We talk about Second Amendment news and gun rights. And we talk about fishing and camping and hunting and hiking and all the things that, you know, you can do in the great outdoors. So if that appeals to you or anyone you know, please let them know about us and check out our podcast. We release this show podcast every Friday, and we put out the podcast exclusive every Monday. And you can get those podcasts just about anywhere you get podcasts. But the best place to get it, Carl, is the Odyssey app.
Odyssey.
The Odyssey app. The radio.com app. If you already get our podcast on the radio.com app, you have probably realized that the radio.com app has changed names. It's now called Odyssey. It's everything is the same. It's just a new name. So if you had the radio.com app, it's called Odyssey now. You don't need to worry or do anything.
But if your phone doesn't automatically update, just go to A-U-D-A-C-Y in Google Play or App Store.
Yes, my phone automatically switched.
This is because you have automatic updates on.
Easy peasy, yeah.
Some people don't trust the automatic updates.
And if you haven't ever downloaded our app before, instead of radio.com, it is now Odyssey. Go and check it out. As I mentioned in that last segment, Bo has a very cool event coming up that he has been a part of for years, that he's been working with many organizations, including the Eureka Police Department. So, Bo, please tell us about your event and introduce your guest.
So just before the lockdown happened last year, we got our fourth annual Big Dogs Poker Bash in. It was almost like the last charity event of the last year, and we snuck it in. Well, it's normally a February event, and the team that got together, that puts this thing together, decided we're going to do it. We're going to do it the week before Memorial Day weekend, May 16th. I know a lot of people may want to be at the lake or whatever, but this is when the fifth annual Big Dogs Poker Bash is going to happen, and proceeds, the Eureka police officer support Support Fund, and there's a lot going on there with that. If you go to Facebook, punch in Big Dogs Poker Bash, spelled dog with D-A-W-G, like it's tattooed on my arm, and you can get your tickets for the game. You can buy raffle tickets. We have a couple of firearms, and we're working on some other cool things. And a guy that I have actually become, I would say, pretty good friends with, I'm on his What Day Is It text campaign. When the camel comes through the office and says, "What day is it? What day is it?" It's hump day. And this chief of police in Eureka is the only chief in all of America that has a Simpsons character based on his life. Chief Wiggum is on The Simpsons. Chief Wiegan is who we're talking to right now. Chief, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on the radio. I appreciate you guys very much.
Been wanting to do that a long time. Chief,
compare him
how
to
are
Chief Wiggum? I don't know about that.
we go back far enough.
Called worse.
I bet. Hey, during this this time, a lot of people think of Eureka as, hey, that's where Six Flags is. But Eureka is a wonderful community. It's almost like an island in our St. Louis County area. And your police department is on its own. You're the chief. You have a great crew. Tell me, what are some of the exciting things that are going on in your department as you take care of the folks around there?
Well, we've had probably from last fall, we had probably the most promotions within the police department we've ever had here. We had several sergeants promoted, corporals promoted to sergeant, rather. We had a couple more corporals promoted underneath them to fill the spots that were vacated by the sergeants. We had two lieutenants promoted. We had several people retire, longtime employees retire, which opened up those slots. And we just hired, and matter of fact, the second day for two new employees who are filling those spots. So it's been really exciting. We've got a lot of movement going on within the police department here, and we're really, really excited to get out there and hustle and do our job every day. It's great, great community, and these people are so supportive of us, the residents are down here, and the business folks, too. Great place.
Chief, obviously, you know, law enforcement has been in the news a whole lot across the country, particularly over the last 12 months, if not for the last few years. And we've talked to, you know, the Chief Fagan in Florissant and Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County have been on this show many times. We certainly appreciate you being on with us as well. Has anything changed there in Eureka as these news stories continue to pop up? It seems like it's affecting police departments across the country. Has any of that influenced anything, the way you guys do things in Eureka, or have you been able to, you know, stay away from all of the drama and sensationalism that we see in so many other places across the country?
Yes, great question. It's a very good question, actually. Most of us police chiefs participate in the best practices of what law enforcement has to offer. So we learn from our partners on the East and West Coast. Midwest is a little bit different. We're a little bit slower to have some of those fads come in here. However, when I say the best practices, it's what we all do together to make our community safe, make our policies and our police officers aware of what the changes are coming and what changes have happened throughout the court systems. And we follow those rules and regulations because as an accredited agency through the state of Missouri, we must do that for one, but we're also an entity that believes in the rights and freedoms of everyone, and we practice what we preach. You know, you're a citizen in Eureka or you're a guest here in Eureka, you're certainly welcome, and if you need to do anything that you want to do, you're free to do so. Unless you commit a crime here, then we treat you the same way as we do a criminal. So it's hard to describe how Eureka really is unique, and I think Bo explained that we're like on this island out here. But yeah, Folks are so supportive of the police department here. It's just it's hard to describe.
That's wonderful.
The support and the pride you feel when you come out in the community, and they just, you know, just wave their hands at you, or they want to buy you a cup of coffee or a donut or whatever every time you go somewhere, or a meal, you know. And I try to repay that too. When I drive through McDonald's, I always try to buy the meal for the car behind me, you know, because you know what? It's just play it forward, mm-hmm, because they are so great to us, whether they're from here or not. They need to know the police are out there for them, and we are every day. You know, the main thing is that we go home to our families at night, and we take care of our police officers here internally as well as externally when they are doing their job. We support them as best as we can as being command staff here. So,
you know, I don't live very far from Eureka, and I'm over there a lot, and Eureka is booming. I mean, their neighborhoods windswept is a McBride neighborhood that's boomed up. They're building a new McDonald's, a new QT. There's a lot going on, and as people are, you know, maybe trying to move out a little further rurally, Chief Wiggum, I get you mixed up. You don't look anything like the guy in The Simpsons.
Buddy, I love you. You know that.
But you wear a lot of hats. You are always involved with charitable things like Shop with a Cop. Can you speak to the involvement that you and some of your officers and detectives have with the Major Case Squad? Because I'm a huge fan of what they do. Because you guys work with a lot of communities that don't have the support that, you know, they have in the city.
Well, the Major Case Squad is a great example of cooperation of all police departments, because in the St. Louis area, we're comprised of large departments and small departments. Some of the smaller departments do not have the expertise to investigate horrendous crimes such as a murder, where it takes multiple investigators to go out and dig up all kinds of information and do investigations and then the police reporting and plus then going to trial. So the Major Case Squad is a group of police departments on both sides of the river composed of about 600 individual members, but we have multiple cities involved and multiple layers of command staff who go out, help the small city if called upon to investigate the murders in those communities. So we combine all our resources. This week it might be a Eureka detective going up to help in North County or West County or Jefferson County, Franklin or St. Charles. Next week it may be Chesterfield going out to help. But it's all the police departments in St. Louis County and St. Louis City and then over on the other side of the Mississippi River. We have multiple agencies involved.
And Tony, do you know the success rate of the Major Case Squad?
No.
Tony?
I not know.
Chief, lay it on him.
We're about 85%.
Wow.
And we have a Facebook page. We do have a Major Case Squad Facebook page that you guys can always go on and look. And it'll tell you some of our investigations that we're doing, some we can't talk about. But things that happen in our lives is the Major Case Squad. I happen to be the treasurer for the Major Case Squad of Greater St. Louis, and it's a great opportunity. I meet some really unique individuals, police officers and investigators that I would never have had the opportunity to meet if I wasn't in this position with the Major Case Squad.
That's super
cool. We really have some great, great cops out there doing great jobs, both sides of the river. I mean, it's really an unbelievable group of people.
We're talking to the police chief in Eureka, Chief Mike Wiegand. Chief, I love to hear about the support that you are getting from your community. You know, obviously, there's been so many stories revolving around law enforcement in the news. And look, I am never a person to say that every police officer is perfect. And there are certainly certain reforms and, you know, ways to weed out the bad apple. I mean, it doesn't matter what organization, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. Every large group of people are going to have a few bad apples. But that doesn't mean that the vast majority of police officers across the country aren't great men and women and doing things the right way and for the right reasons. And I just love to hear that support that you are getting from the community. One of the things that we've heard from other municipalities in the area has been the situation in the city of St. Louis, where unfortunately many officers, and it seems like they don't get support from the community or even maybe not even the community, but from the city itself. How attractive has that made Eureka and some other areas around St. Louis to really good police officers that are looking to go somewhere that they will have that support that they need? And how good is that for you guys if you're that much more attractive to the best people in the law enforcement community? Does that happen? Is that influence felt there in Eureka?
It is, and our friends over in Jefferson County, Dave Marshak, Sheriff Marshak, mm-hmm. has hired a group of people from St. Louis City. He's been really going through some officers and hiring a lot of St. Louis City officers, according to Dave when I talked to him last. And all around us, Jefferson County, Franklin County, and St. Charles has hired a large amount. We haven't had the opportunity to hire anyone from the St. Louis City Police Department, our former St. Louis City Police Department. I know we have quite a few of city officers living out in this area. And it's been tough for all of us, though, to hire police officers because of all the things we see on TV. I truly believe this is the result of it, that, you know, why go into a profession where everybody hates you, where you're not going to get cooperated, there's not going to be any support for you, and why would I want to do that and only get paid, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 a year to start, and have my name tattered all over the newspapers, whether I did something or not, or be on a list that I can't testify in court on from, mm-hmm. you know, so from some prosecutor doesn't think I'm truthful or whatever it might be.
Right.
Why would you put yourself through that?
Yeah.
You know, you have to ask yourself, why would you do that? But then again, you know, we have some really shining stars that come out of the police academies or in smaller departments around the St. Louis area who do want to move into the area and become a police officer at Eureka. We were fortunate enough, a couple guys retired earlier in the fall of last year, and it took us until actually January of this year to hire two candidates or to find two candidates that we could do background checks and all the other things that we now do before we can put an officer on the road. These guys have just started this week.
Wow.
And that's how long it took us since last fall
wow.
to go through the system and get, I think we only had 12 candidates actually apply, or applicants actually apply with us. Before all this hit, before Ferguson hit, we probably had 100 applicants
wow.
for every one opening that we had.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is amazing.
Unfortunately, we are just about out of time here with Eureka Police Chief Mike Wiegen, but hopefully we can get you back on real soon, Chief, and continue these conversations with you. Bo, before we run out of time with the Chief, one more time, remind everybody about this really great event that you guys have coming up.
Yeah, if you play Texas Hold'em, that's the tournament, and it's going to happen at the newest event center out at Brookdale Farms called the Silo Point. And tickets are like $53 with service charges on Eventbrite. Get your tickets ahead of time. It all supports the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund, which, by the way, Tony, I'm the vice co-president
Ooh.
Of that organization.
Oh.
Scary. That's scary.
Yeah, it kind of is. $60 at the... $60 at the door if you want. We had 140 players last year. Great food, great silent auction. And if you are a company that supports the police and you want to be involved, contact me through social media. Just search Bo Matthews. You'll find me. And let us know what you want to donate to our silent auction, or you want to sponsor one thing or another. We'd love to have you. Fifth annual Big Dogs Poker Bash, May 16th, 2021. And it's going to be a great time as always.
Yeah, Chief, is Bo the card shark, the hold'em guru that he claims to be?
No, I don't claim nothing.
I've seen Bo play.
And that's all he'll say.
I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
That's great.
He's a great guy. I love Bo. He's a great guy to have on our side. I sure appreciate
great.
The work he does. I appreciate all you guys at the station, too, and the support we get from all you folks in law enforcement community. So thank you so much.
Well, Chief, we really appreciate you and your time. And like I said, I hope we get a chance to talk to you again in the very near future.
Me too. Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Be safe, Chief.
All right.
Thanks,
great stuff
Bo.
There from Eureka Police Chief Mike Wiegen. I got to take a quick break, and when we get back, we will go into the great outdoors, and we'll talk to our buddy Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors about Missouri's new bear season. Don't go anywhere. All right, I get it.
Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Let me be
teddy bear. Welcome back
That's
to Second Amendment Radio.
Yes.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Happy Easter weekend to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Another big thank you
to the police chief out of Eureka, Chief Mike Wiegand, for joining us in that last segment. If you missed it or you want to hear it again, don't forget to download our podcast anywhere that you get podcasts. But the best place to do that is on the new Odyssey app. Yes. No
it's
longer
audio,
radio.com.
Odyssey.
That's right. No longer radio.com. It is now Odyssey. So make sure you go and check that out. We will have the show podcast goes out on Fridays. The podcast exclusive goes out on Mondays. In just a moment, we're going to talk to our friend Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors. We're going to discuss the great outdoors, and he's going to stick around for that podcast exclusive. So make sure you are downloading that each and every week. And of course, every time we talk about the great outdoors here on the show, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They are in De Pere on Manchester Road, about a half a mile east of 270, next to the tennis store, because that takes up the big portion of the building. But stop in there at Razorback Armory. They are true gun concierge. If you are looking for something specific, they're the people you want to talk to. Stop in. Jesse, Brad, and Kenny do a great job. They got a few other people working there. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory. Find them and their address at razorbackarmory.com.
And Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors and the Thinking Woodsman podcast joins us now. Tim, how's it going, dude?
Good. How about you guys?
Can't complain. Been a little while. Thanks for thanks for coming on with us. It's great to talk with you.
Yeah. I keep up with you guys on the Odyssey app. I was Bing listening earlier today, catching up on last week's show.
Did you have the radio.com app on your phone?
Automatically.
Did it automatically change to Odyssey, or did you have to do something?
I have my app set to auto update.
So there you go.
Gotcha. We run apps here at Drury Outdoors. We run DeerCast, and so we're all about app updates. And so I want my app to update ASAP. And it just flopped over from radio.com to Odyssey. Bing, listen all you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've just been kind of talking to people about that and that change and update that's been made. And yeah, most people, it just was an automatic change. You may have to go in and update the app. But if you had the radio.com app and that was the way that you got our podcasts or any other podcasts from the radio stations, it's all still there. It's just a new name, Odyssey instead of radio.com. Easy switch over.
Hey, Tim, so, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Why did I play Elvis Presley's Let Me Be Your Teddy Bear today?
Yeah. Ugh.
Because that song is full of illusions of killing bears. And that's what we're talking about, bear hunting, right?
So we've talked to you about this on this show, and we've discussed it on this show over the last couple of years. There's been this rumor, discussion in the state of Missouri and the conservation department about opening up a bear hunting season here in the state. And now that is, in fact, a reality. It was just announced last week that for the first time ever, the state of Missouri is going to have a bear hunting season. So please.
Huzzah.
Yeah. Please tell us what that means and how that's going to work.
Yeah, we're living it. Sure. We're living in historic times. We had our first modern elk season this past fall. And then 2021, October 18 through 27 is the start of our first modern black bear season. The conservation department has been very open and public about this process, hosting listening sessions and gathering public feedback on public sentiment and, you know, landowner perspectives. And obviously a lot of biology, wildlife biology, population data goes into this decision. And the thinking was, you know, once that population hit an easy 600 in the state, that we would start having to control and manage the population through hunting. And right now it's estimated that there are probably around 800 bears conservatively. It could trend as high as 1,000, could be as low as 600. Based on my buddies that have rural properties, I think that number is pretty conservative. There seem to be quite a few black bears, especially in southern Missouri. And that's really how the state's broken up. There's going to be three bear management zones, and they're all pretty much south of Highway 44. And they are all managed a little differently because the terrain's a little different and the populations are a little different. So, for example, bear management zone one, which is kind of the southwest corner of the state, there's going to be 200 permits issued for the taking of 20 bears. Bear management zone two, which is kind of the south eastern portion of the state, there's 150 permits that will be sold and only 15 bears allowed to be taken. And then Bear Management Zone 3 is kind of a little more north, and on the western side of the state, there's only 50 permits going to be sold with 5 bears. So it looks like they're expecting about a 10% hunter success rate for guys going out bear hunting this year. And you can use archery or firearms to take a bear.
What about a bear trap?
No.
No,
you can't use a bear trap or an atlatl. Those are forbidden. Yep. You also can't use bait or dogs. And in a lot of states, baiting bear is, you know, we talked before with Bo about how his mom owned the donut shop and the hunters coming in and getting donuts. At least for right now, they're saying no to baiting, but they are going to kind of let that conversation evolve and see how things go.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tim, I assume you'll be doing archery because you're such a badass. And the other thing is, if you have 200 permits that are issued, that they cost money to get a permit, correct?
Yeah, and I don't know exactly how much the permits are going to cost. There will be a $10 application fee, much like there was for putting your hat in the or putting your name in the hat for the elk draw this past year.
Right.
So they're going to bring in some major conservation dollars right off the bat, just with people applying to try to get a tag, and that's just residents. Non-residents at this point will not be allowed to apply.
Okay, so if the harvest quota desired in the bear zone number one is 20 bears, what happens on a day that there are, you know, that it all happens so quickly that there are more than 20 that are harvested?
Hunters will have to call in before they go on their hunt each day and find out if the quota has been met. So there's also kind of a sense of urgency because if there's 200 people out there trying to kill a bear in a zone where only 20 are allowed to be killed, that number is just going to continue to decrease as the 10-day season goes on. And so you're going to have to call in, and it's possible you could call in after day 5 or 6 and find out all the bear, you know, the management number has been achieved for this zone and the season has closed. And so you could potentially end the season with an unfilled bear tag in your pocket before the season was officially supposed to end.
Tim, you mentioned the elk season, and we knew that there was a desire for that in the state from hunters, that, you know, that was a game that they were excited about. But I don't think we could have judged how excited people were and the appetite for that. That was a boom for the state and for the conservation department. All the people that applied for the tags and, you know, all the money that was spent to get those applications in. Do you expect the appetite to be just as strong for the bear season?
It's going to be huge. And in fact, a lot of my friends who run outfitting businesses and my buddies that hunt on our team here at Drury Outdoors, they've already got bear scouted. Like they've got trail camera pictures of bears, and they've got them named.
Cool.
And they know, like, if they get a draw for one of these tags, they know exactly what bear they're going after.
Wow.
So there's a lot of energy, a lot of motivation for this. And then you think in 5 to 10 years, if this continues to be successful and they open it up to non-residents, that's more out-of-state dollars coming in to just continue to manage and benefit our Missouri wildlife. That's pretty cool.
So there's a lot more questions that I have for Tim, because there are obviously major differences between hunting a deer or elk or anything else than hunting a bear. I would imagine that there's even more dangers involved when you're dealing with bears than deer. So I want to get into some of those questions and those conversations in the podcast exclusive. Before we wrap up the show, Tim, 30 seconds, tell people how they can learn more about Drury Outdoors and the DeerCast app and the Thinking Woodsman.
Yeah, for anything that you're wanting to know, whether it's land management or turkey hunting tips, deer hunting, scouting, any kind of thing like that, DeerCast is your best bet. So download it through any of the app stores or go to DeerCast.com. Hop on and grab it. Visit us at DrearyOutdoors.com. Any of the our YouTube channel is Drury Outdoors, and hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're all over the place, and you can find the Thinking Woodsman Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And Tim is also getting involved in a new venture that we are going to talk about on the podcast as well. Some exciting stuff that Tim is working on. So lots to talk about. Make sure you download the podcast exclusive this week. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. For producer Carl Middleman and my partner Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Your teddy bear.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Baby, let me be teddy bear. All right, I get it.
Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Let me be
teddy bear. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio.
Yes.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Happy Easter weekend to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Another big thank you to the police chief out of Eureka, Chief Mike Wiegand, for joining us in that last segment. If you missed it or you want to hear it again, don't forget to download our podcast anywhere that you get podcasts. But the best place to do that is on the new Odyssey app. Yes. No
it's
longer radio.com.
Odyssey.
That's right. No longer radio.com. It is now Odyssey. So make sure you go and check that out. We will have the show podcast goes out on Fridays. The podcast exclusive goes out on Mondays. In just a moment, we're going to talk to our friend Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors. We're going to discuss the great outdoors, and he's going to stick around for that podcast exclusive. So make sure you are downloading that each and every week. And of course, every time we talk about the great outdoors here on the show, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They are in De Pere on Manchester Road, about a half a mile east of 270, next to the tennis store, because that takes up the big portion of the building. But stop in there at Razorback Armory. They are true gun concierge. If you are looking for something specific, they're the people you want to talk to. Stop in. Jesse, Brad, and Kenny do a great job. They got a few other people working there. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory. Find them and their address at razorbackarmory.com.
And Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors and the Thinking Woodsman podcast joins us now. Tim, how's it going, dude?
Good. How about you guys?
Can't complain. Been a little while. Thanks for thanks for coming on with us. It's great to talk with you.
Yeah. I keep up with you guys on the Odyssey app. I was Bing listening earlier today, catching up on last week's show.
Did you have the radio.com app on your phone?
Is that automatically?
Did it automatically change to Odyssey, or did you have to do something?
I have my app set to auto update.
So there you go.
Gotcha. We run apps here at Drury Outdoors. We run DeerCast, and so we're all about app updates. And so I want my app to update ASAP. And it just flopped over from radio.com to Odyssey. Bing, listen all you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've just been kind of talking to people about that and that change and update that's been made. And yeah, most people, it just was an automatic change. You may have to go in and update the app. But if you had the radio.com app and that was the way that you got our podcasts or any other podcasts from the radio stations, it's all still there. It's just a new name, Odyssey instead of radio.com. Easy switch over.
Hey, Tim, so, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Why did I play Elvis Presley's Let Me Be Your Teddy Bear today?
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
Because that song is full of illusions of killing bears. And that's what we're talking about, bear hunting, right?
So we've talked to you about this on this show, and we've discussed it on this show over the last couple of years. There's been this rumor,
threat,
this discussion in the state of Missouri and the conservation department about opening up a bear hunting season here in the state. And now that is, in fact, a reality. It was just announced last week that for the first time ever, the state of Missouri is going to have a bear hunting season. So
please.
Huzzah.
Yeah, please tell us what that means and how that's
going
to work.
Yeah, we're living it. Sure, we're living in historic times. We had our first modern elk season this past fall, and then 2021, October 18 through 27 is the start of our first modern black bear season. The conservation department has been very open and public about this process, hosting listening sessions and gathering public feedback on public sentiment and, you know, landowner perspectives, and obviously a lot of biology, wildlife biology, population data goes into this decision. And the thinking was, you know, once that population hit an easy 600 in the state, that we would start having to control and manage the population through hunting. And right now it's estimated that there are probably around 800 bears conservatively. It could trend as high as 1,000, could be as low as 600. Based on my buddies that have rural properties, I think that number is pretty conservative. There seem to be quite a few black bears, especially in southern Missouri. And that's really how the state's broken up. There's going to be three bear management zones, and they're all pretty much south of Highway 44. And they are all managed a little differently because the terrain's a little different and the populations are a little different. So, for example, bear management zone one, which is kind of the southwest corner of the state, there's going to be 200 permits issued for the taking of 20 bears. Bear management zone two, which is kind of the southeastern portion of the state, there's 150 permits that will be sold and only 15 bears allowed to be taken. And then bear management zone three is kind of a little more north, and on the western side of the state, there's only 50 permits going to be sold with five bears. So it looks like they're expecting about a 10% hunter success rate for guys going out bear hunting this year. And you can use archery or firearms to take a bear.
What about a bear trap?
No.
No,
you can't use a bear trap or an atlatl. Those are those are forbidden. Yep, you can't. You also can't use bait or dogs. And in a lot of states, baiting bear is. You know, we talked before with Bo about how his mom owned the donut shop and the hunters coming in and getting donuts. At least for right now, they're saying no to baiting, but they are going to kind of let that conversation evolve and see how things go.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tim, I assume you'll be doing archery because you're such a badass. And the other thing is, if you have 200 permits that are issued, that they cost money to get a permit, correct?
Yeah, and I don't know exactly how much the permits are going to cost. There will be a $10 application fee, much like there was for putting your hat in the or putting your name in the hat for the elk draw this past year.
Right.
So they're going to bring in some major conservation dollars right off the bat, just with people applying to try to get a tag, and that's just residents. Non-residents at this point will not be allowed to apply.
Okay, so if the harvest quota desired in the bear zone number one is 20 bears, what happens on a day that there are, you know, that it all happens so quickly that there are more than 20 that are harvested?
Hunters will have to call in before they go on their hunt each day and find out if the quota has been met. So there's also kind of a sense of urgency, because if there's 200 people out there trying to kill a bear in a zone where only 20 are allowed to be killed, that number is just going to continue to decrease as the 10-day season goes on. And so you're going to have to call in, and it's possible you could call in after day five or six and find out all the bear, you know, the management number has been achieved for this zone and the season has closed. And so you could potentially end the season with an unfilled bear tag in your pocket before the season was officially supposed to end.
Tim, you mentioned the elk season, and we knew that there was a desire for that in the state from hunters, that, you know, that was a game that they were excited about. But I don't think we could have judged how excited people were and the appetite for that. That was a boom for the state and for the conservation department. All the people that applied for the tags and, you know, all the money that was spent to get those applications in. Do you expect the appetite to be just as strong for the bear season?
It's going to be huge. In fact, a lot of my friends who run outfitting businesses and my buddies that hunt on our team here at Drury Outdoors, they've already got bears scouted. Like they've got trail camera pictures of bears, and they've got them named. Cool. And they know, like, if they get a draw for one of these tags, they know exactly what bear they're going after.
Wow.
So there's a lot of energy, a lot of motivation for this. And then you think in 5 to 10 years, if this continues to be successful and they open it up to non-residents, that's more out-of-state dollars coming in to just continue to manage and benefit our Missouri wildlife. That's pretty cool.
So there's a lot more questions that I have for Tim, because there are obviously major differences between hunting a deer or elk or anything else than hunting a bear. I would imagine that there's even more dangers involved when you're dealing with bears than deer. So I want to get into some of those questions and those conversations in the podcast exclusive. Before we wrap up the show, Tim, 30 seconds. Tell people how they can learn more about Drury Outdoors and the DeerCast app and the Thinking Woodsman.
Yeah, for anything that you're wanting to know, whether it's land management or turkey hunting tips, deer hunting, scouting, any kind of thing like that, DeerCast is your best bet. So download it through any of the app stores or go to DeerCast.com. Hop on and grab it. Visit us at DruryOutdoors.com. Any of our YouTube channel is Drury Outdoors, and hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're all over the place, and you can find the Thinking Woodsman Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And Tim is also getting involved in a new venture that we are going to talk about on the podcast as well. Some exciting stuff that Tim is working on. So lots to talk about. Make sure you download the podcast exclusive this week. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. For producer Carl Middleman and my partner Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Your teddy bear.
Get more at 971talk.com.